weather and climate often cause concern and curiosity, but understanding the facts behind the phenomena can be a challenge. We're here to help. From the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, and Illinois Public Media, welcome to Weather Realness, a weekly podcast about the skies above Illinois and the world. I'm your host, Maddie Stover, a doctoral student in physics here at the University of Illinois.
Cleanup continues today after tornadoes ripped across parts of Indiana and Illinois Tuesday night.
While the tornado was deadly in Indiana, there were no serious injuries in Kankakee County.
And check out all the damage left behind in the Aroma Park area, just a few miles from Kankakee. You can see the fallen trees there, cars damaged, homes destroyed. We saw fire crews walking through the rubble there.
Damage from tornadoes and large hail were closer to the Chicago area last night. A family member of an Illinois Public Media staffer sent us pictures of golf ball-sized hail and pummeled windshields in Bradley Village, just north of Kankakee. You can see those pictures at ipmnewsroom.org.
Standing in front of what used to be a tri-level house, a guy named Bob lives here. Bob said late last night across that field, he saw the tornado bouncing through the field.
I did see it coming straight at us, and once I started seeing a lot of debris in the air, I went in the basement.
Some residents in rural Newton County, Indiana, awoke to see incredible damage after last night's storm, and they heard of the tragic news that two of their neighbors had died.
Here to help us prepare for severe weather is Jeff Frame, Illinois professor in the Department of Climate, Meteorology, and Atmospheric Sciences at the University of Illinois. Thanks for joining us, Jeff.
Great to be back, Maddie.
So, Jeff, when is severe storm season in Illinois?
Well, in Illinois, severe storms can be possible really all year round. We did have a severe weather episode actually on December 28th, 3 days after Christmas. But severe weather is much more common in the spring into the summer months. Roughly March through about July is when that is most common here in Illinois.
And what kind of causes it, March through July, what kind of atmospheric factors cause it to be more active during that time?
All right, so for severe weather, we need a few ingredients. Number one is we need moisture. And that moisture starts to come north out of the Gulf of Mexico during the spring. And that allows for what we call atmospheric instability to build. That is, air is able to rise up on its own due to buoyancy. And it can rise up very, very quickly. And that's how thunderstorms form. Also, into the spring months, we still have wind shear. That is, the strong jet stream winds giving us a big change in wind speed and wind direction with height. Now, as we go into the summer, we do still have a lot of instability. It's very plentiful, but the shear does tend to weaken a little bit as we get into August and into some of the autumn months.
And what kind of severe weather can we expect in the upcoming months?
Well, severe weather, according to the National Weather Service, is defined as either wind gusts caused by a thunderstorm 58 miles an hour or greater, hail 1 inch in diameter, that's the size of a quarter or larger, or a tornado. And all three of those hazards do happen here and are fairly common, again, especially March through July here in Illinois and around the Midwest.
So Illinois is so long from north to south. Can severe weather differ on the northern end of the state next to Lake Michigan compared to here in central Illinois? And what about southern Illinois near the confluence of the Ohio and Mississippi rivers?
Right, yeah. Because Illinois is pretty long there from north to south, as you said, it's possible for some events, for example, to only affect the northern part of the state up near Chicago, and maybe some events to only affect areas farther south, like, for example, the recent severe weather and tornado episode on February 19th was kind of concentrated around and south of Interstate 70, so Effingham area down towards Salem and east of there.
So can you kind of walk us through the process of how the National Weather Service issues their warnings for severe weather?
Yes. So warnings are issued by local National Weather Service offices. And there are several offices that issue warnings for different parts of Illinois, including Chicago, the Quad Cities or Davenport, Iowa, Lincoln, Illinois, that is us here in Champaign, the St. Louis office, and the office in Paducah, Kentucky, issues warnings for the far southern part of the state. Meteorologists at the National Weather Service, who not only have degrees in meteorology, but they'd been trained on radar and radar and warning processes at the National Weather Service. There are one or maybe two people there looking at the radar, and their only job is to look at the radar, analyze it, and issue severe thunderstorm or tornado tornado warnings, excuse me. And so, for example, there are some cues like increasing rotation on radar might prompt a tornado warning, as well as some other radar signatures as well. Using what's called dual polarimetric radar, which came out about 15 years ago, we can actually see the debris being kicked up by a tornado. In that case, we would say it's a radar-confirmed tornado, not just a radar-indicated tornado. Additionally, the Weather Service takes calls from spotters in the field or storm chasers. Also, a lot of law enforcement and emergency management will send some of their folks out to spot around town, for example. If a severe storm's coming into Champaign County, right, Champaign County Sheriff's or Urbana or Champaign Police.
So you talked about this a little bit, but once a severe thunderstorm or tornado is on the ground, who tracks it in the field? And do they send folks from the National Weather Service out into the field to chase it?
I know the Weather Service doesn't engage in active storm chasing. The only exception to that might be if somebody's off duty during a severe weather episode, either they have the day off or maybe they're working, you know, the night shift, or they worked early in the morning. You know, if they have free time, they can go out and chase, you know, on their own time and on their own dime. But again, it's a network of storm spotters, and the Weather Service does a couple dozen spotter training courses around central Illinois. Storm chasers can report into the Weather Service. Either they can call a phone number or they can do that on social media, primarily Facebook and Twitter are good for that. And also, again, emergency management and local law enforcement and other partners as well can chase storms, as well as, you know, the general public. They see something, or maybe they get big hail at their house, and they can report that into the Weather Service as well. The Weather Service also does monitor local media during these events. For example, some of the TV stations send some of their meteorologists out storm chasing, and they'll be watching their footage to see not only what the storm looks like, but if there's a tornado or if there's big hail or if there's been damage or anything like that.
So severe weather season comes with lots of different watches and warnings. If you could give us a 1-to-2-word sentence to describe the following terms. What is a severe thunderstorm watch?
Well, any watch means that conditions are favorable for severe weather. Severe thunderstorm watch means there's a increased risk of primarily large hail and damaging winds. Tornado threat is lower, but it's non-zero, but it can't be ruled out.
What is a severe thunderstorm warning?
A warning means that something has either been indicated on radar or detected by radar or seen by a storm spotter or storm chaser. And so a severe thunderstorm warning would generally last for less than an hour, cover, you know, a portion of a county. And that would be for wind gusts greater than 58 miles an hour or hail 1 inch in diameter or larger.
What is a tornado watch?
A tornado watch means that tornadoes and usually large hail and damaging winds are all likely. And again, a watch is going to cover a large part of usually a few states and last for a few to several hours.
What is a tornado warning?
A tornado warning means that a tornado has either been spotted or detected on radar. And again, when you hear a warning, seek shelter immediately.
What is a flash flood watch?
Yeah, flooding, although it's very dangerous, flooding is not included in standard severe weather products. But there are, like you mentioned, flash flood watches and warnings that cover that threat. So a flash flood watch would mean that flooding, usually due to torrential rain from thunderstorms, is possible over an area. And again, these tend to cover several counties and last for several hours or sometimes over 24 hours. And a flash flood warning would mean that flash flooding is either occurring. We either have, you know, reports of that, or for example, river gauges can detect flash flooding on some of the rivers as well. Radar can estimate precipitation totals as well if that occurs in between observation stations.
What is a high wind warning?
A high wind warning is issued for high winds, generally gusts in excess of 55 miles an hour, not associated with thunderstorms. So that would be, for example, if we have real strong low pressure systems, say over Wisconsin, and there's a tight pressure gradient or big change in pressure across the state, that yields a strong and gusty wind. So during a high wind warning, you know, it's probably not raining. The sun might even be out. But again, you have high winds not associated with thunderstorms. It's capable of causing damage, bringing down tree limbs, power lines, and the like.
You're listening to Weather Realness, the weekly podcast about climate and weather. We are joined by Jeff Frame, professor in the Department of Climate, Meteorology, and Atmospheric Sciences. He has a lifelong interest in severe weather and has studied it around the world. We're talking about the upcoming severe storm season. What are your questions about tornadoes and severe weather? Leave us a voicemail at 217-333-2141 or email weatherrealness@illinois.edu, and Illinois top scientists will answer them on an upcoming episode of Weather Realness. So, Jeff, how far in advance do meteorologists know about severe weather, and what makes it easy or difficult to forecast? I know that's a bit of a broad question, lots of different types of severe weather.
Right. Well, it kind of depends on the severe weather event. This time of year, kind of March, April, earlier on in the season, at least the patterns favorable for severe weather tend to be a little bit more predictable. A big trough coming in the jet stream, that'll lead to an area of low pressure and associated fronts forming out ahead of that. Moisture comes in off the Gulf of Mexico. We have wind shear due to the jet stream. And at least we can say, hey, there's a superpositioning of ingredients making severe weather likely over this area. And sometimes we can forecast that out a week in advance. But there are other severe weather episodes, mainly focused in the summertime, that can be quite unpredictable. For example, the devastating derecho that tore across Iowa and Illinois back in August of 2020.
Area. So anyone in the warning, I want you to seek shelter, lowest level of your home, and a basement if possible. In addition to the potential of brief tornadoes within this line of thunderstorms, extremely high winds here expected. So think about this long line of thunderstorms moving in with winds upwards of 60, 70.
That was forecast less than 24 hours in advance. And summertime patterns do tend to offer quite a bit lower predictability. And sometimes that can depend on how storms the day before evolved and behaved, and maybe they set down a boundary along which new storms can form. Another example of unpredictability with that was the Champaign-Urbana hailstorm of July 11th, 2020. That one actually got me a new roof.
So what is an average storm season like here in Illinois, and do we expect that this year?
Yeah, I mean, there really is no what I call average storm season. But for example, here in March into April, severe weather events do tend to be a little more sporadic, but when they do happen, they can sometimes be a little bit higher end. For example, like last year, we had tornadoes on March 14th, March 30th, and April 2nd. And then most of April was just very, very quiet, as cold air and high pressure generally dominated a lot of the eastern half of the United States. And those severe weather events do tend to get more numerous as we go on into May and June, as we have more heating and more moisture and thus more instability, more fuel for those storms to work with. And then that season does tend to tail off a little bit, August through the fall season. Severe weather, of course, is not impossible in those months. The November 17th, 2013 tornado outbreak, of course, is a stark example of that. And these events, again, do cause both tornadoes, large hail, and damaging winds, as well as flooding. And of course, any thunderstorm produces lightning, meaning that any thunderstorm is dangerous.
And so do we expect this storm season to be particularly active, or is it kind of hard to predict that?
Right. It's kind of hard to predict day-to-day weather more than about a week or maybe a little more than that in advance. We've had a couple severe weather episodes already, one on February 19th. One pretty weak event. This was late night Friday, March 6th. Some storms came through here. There was some severe potential with them, but they really didn't live up to all their billing. They were pretty tame as they came across the area, just some rain, a little bit of wind. And then another event on Tuesday, March 10th. But kind of going beyond that, looks like things are going to be quieting down a little bit as we head into the middle of March, as colder air returns across the eastern half of the United States. And then looking ahead into April and May, Again, we can't really say, you know, certainly we cannot say in advance, hey, you know, March 24th or May 24th, look out, there's going to be a tornado outbreak. Certainly nobody can say that with any degree of accuracy.
So let's talk a little bit about good ways to get these severe weather warnings that the National Weather Service issues. In your kind of experience, what's the best way to get severe weather warnings?
Yeah, I mean, I think it varies from person to person. You know, for a lot of, you know, younger and middle-aged people, you know, smartphones are a great way to do that. But again, for some of our older listeners out there, they might not be comfortable with some of that technology. And maybe relying more on good old broadcast radio, hint, hint, or television, internet, websites also do a very good job of that. But again, you want the source to be something legit, either NOAA weather radio. And the benefit of a NOAA weather radio is it can go off in the middle of the night and wake you up, because tornadoes at night are actually twice as deadly as tornadoes during the day. The big reason for that is people are just asleep and not paying attention. And they're not able to take proper shelter.
So we've talked about how to get the warnings. What should you plan to do if a couple different scenarios? You wake up in the morning and meteorologist Andrew Pritchard is forecasting a high probability of severe storms, including tornadoes.
If you hear a forecast for a possible severe weather event, think about, well, first, listen to the timing of when the storms might hit. Sometimes, for example, last year we had a tornado at 12:30 in the afternoon. We had a tornado after midnight on a different day. So obviously, try to hear when the timing of those storms is most likely and think about where you will be. You're right. If you're going to be at home, you should know where your safe place is. If you are put under a warning, if you're at your workplace, if you don't know where your safe place is, ask a supervisor. If you'll be somewhere else, well, think about maybe, you know, delaying that shopping trip a little bit. Or if you're, for example, planning travel across the area, think about, well, maybe I should reconsider this and do it for a day when severe weather is likely.
Yeah. So let's chat a little bit more about those safe places. So where do you go if you're hearing storm sirens or you get an alert on your phone and a warning is issued for your area and you're at home or in a building with a basement?
Right. So severe thunderstorm warning, you'll generally want to get away from windows. Going to an interior room won't hurt. But if a tornado warning is issued, what you want to do is get to an interior room on the lowest floor of a substantial structure. Basements are the best. If you do not have one, an interior bathroom is very good because those metal pipes help strengthen the walls. And if you're at home, put on shoes and put on a bike helmet and try to cover yourself under blankets or heavy coats or something, you know, soft. You don't want to hide under a workbench that, you know, that's going to hurt when it falls down on you.
So in an office building or an apartment building with no basement, the best place to be would be the lowest floor, like in a bathroom?
Yeah, lowest floor in a bathroom or in a hallway, for example, if you're in a school. I've heard stories of schools, if you are responsible for keeping kids safe in a school, there are a couple things you need to do. One, make sure the students are in an interior room on the lowest floor. Sheltering in a hallway and upper floor is not acceptable. Also, you cannot have students shelter in a gymnasium. Large span roofs like gymnasiums, auditoriums, and big box stores just are not anchored very well, and it's comparatively easy for a tornado to rip the roof off of those structures compared to classrooms and hallways and the like.
And what about if you're driving in a city, like maybe around town here?
Yeah, if you're driving around town, you're kind of taken by surprise, stop at, if you cannot make it home, if you're far from home, and you do not want to try to outrun a tornado in a car in the city, even a place like Champaign-Urbana, stop at a business, some kind of sturdy structure, again, preferably not a big box store, but, you know, a gas station or something you can shelter, in the cooler. I've heard of people doing that. But just look for any kind of substantial structure that you can.
And then what if you're kind of in a more rural situation? What if you're driving on a road or an interstate highway and you're pretty far from the next exit?
Right. Well, that depends. Are you just under a warning? Certainly, you need to hopefully have your bearings and know where you are. If you have visibility of a tornado and you're out in the middle of, you know, without any substantial structure, and you have a car in a very rural area, You really should be able to outrun that in a car. Most tornadoes do not move 60 or 70 miles an hour, and you should be able to drive away from that, but make sure you don't drive into it. All right, that's very important. And of course, at night, that is even more dangerous because you cannot see that. And some tornadoes are wrapped in rain as well. If conditions do get bad, for example, heavy rain you can't see, or hail, pull over. Hail can shatter your windshield. Heavy rain, you can't go very fast, and you can hydroplane and go off the roadway that way. And that those incidences are far more dangerous and likely than being hit by a tornado out there. But one thing you do not want to do is pull over and shelter under an underpass or stop in the travel lanes. I see pictures of people doing this all the time. It's hailing. They stop under an underpass and are actually blocking the travel lanes. Well, now you have people coming at highway speed on a wet road with cars stopped, and that is a very easy recipe for an accident.
So we've got a quick lightning round on some common misconceptions about tornadoes. So, Jeff, does opening the windows of your house during a storm equilibrate the pressure during a tornado?
Absolutely not. Houses are not airtight. The tornado will open the windows for you. Do not spend time opening or closing the windows if you hear a tornado warning. Get to your safe place. Get to your shelter, lowest floor, interior room. Do not waste time opening the windows.
Can tornadoes cross rivers, lakes, or mountains?
Tornadoes can cross rivers, lakes, and mountains. None of those things prevent tornadoes. Big cities do not prevent tornadoes either. Chicago or Champaign or pick your favorite city, there's no magic force field around those places. So tornadoes are just much more likely to, of course, impact small towns and rural areas because there's just a lot more of those.
Are big tornadoes always stronger than small ones?
No, you cannot tell the intensity of a tornado just by looking at it. There are some really big, wide, you know, wedge tornadoes, we call them, that look wider than they are tall, and they end up not doing all that much damage for whatever reason. Whereas some very, very narrow, small tornadoes, we call them drill bits, can be very, very intense. And, you know, I've seen tornadoes not all that wide be rated EF4, EF5 in the past.
But can you outrun a tornado by driving directly away from it?
If you're out in a rural area, almost all the time, yes, you can. But in a city, absolutely not, because there's going to be traffic. There's going to be stoplights and stop signs. Buildings and trees will block your view. So again, if you're out in an open rural area, you can. But if you are in any kind of urban area, small town, you cannot.
And what about kind of thunderstorms, specifically lightning? Kind of growing up, my folks would tell me, you know, don't take a shower or don't use an electrical appliance during a thunderstorm with lightning. Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, there is. Actually, a friend of mine growing up was actually shocked by a thunderstorm while playing a wired Super Nintendo controller back in the day. Lightning strikes a power line or a power pole or something outside. Well, those wires, I mean, they are built to conduct electricity. They are very good at that. So it is possible if you're using something plugged into the wall or plugged into an outlet in a car that you could get a shock there. Same thing with water pipes, right? They're buried underground, but if lightning strikes the ground, well, that electricity then goes into the ground. And now, again, we have metal pipes full of water. Both of those things conduct electricity very well. So, yeah, it is possible to be get a shock. Well, you know, washing your hands, doing the dishes, taking a shower, things like that. So again, avoid running water and anything plugged into the wall during a thunderstorm. In any thunderstorm, it doesn't even have to be severe.
So before you go, Jeff, one interesting fact, the tornadoes that hit Oklahoma in early March actually impacted a town made famous by the movie Twister, starring Bill Paxton and Helene Hunt, which we talk about this a lot in our department.
Storm chasers.
Well, let's go.
Scientists have been studying tornadoes forever, but still nobody knows how a tornado works.
We have touchdown, tornado is on the ground.
Woo-hoo! It's a wonder of nature, baby!
So Jeff, what do you think of that, about, you know, that storm, and what do you think about the original Twisters from 1996?
Yeah, that town was Wakita, Oklahoma. I've actually been there. It's a very small town, way off the beaten path. And there's actually a Twister movie museum in the town. You can look it up online if you happen to be going through northern Oklahoma. On the night of Thursday, March 5th, a thunderstorm developed, and it really kind of went nuts out there. Came very close to a radar site, so we got very high-resolution radar data of the storm as it produced several tornadoes, one of which unfortunately killed a mother and daughter in a car. I think they drove into it, and I saw a picture of the car. It actually was unrecognizable. You couldn't even tell what kind of car it was. Really sad. So again, cars are not safe places during tornadoes, neither are buses or trucks or anything like that. But that movie, I think, is a lot of fun. And it's one of my favorites. Now, are there some science errors in there? Sure. But, you know, it's a good movie. It's a good time. And I think every severe weather enthusiast has seen that movie probably several times.
Well, that's all we've got time for today. But thank you for joining us, Jeff.
Thank you, Maddie. And everyone, stay safe this spring and stay storm aware. Be prepared, not scared.
I'm U of I doctoral student Maddie Stover, and we've been talking with Jeff Frame, a professor in the Department of Climate, Meteorology, and Atmospheric Sciences at the University of Illinois. What are your questions about tornadoes or severe weather? Leave us a voicemail at 217-333-2141 or email weatherrealness@illinois.edu, and Illinois top scientists will answer them on an upcoming episode of Weather Realness.